Okay, we're recording. So Jay?
Here.
Richard Merck, not here. Ruben is here. Tom Dodge?
I'm here.
James Hayes, our new member, is here. Mayor Rossini's here. Wayne is here. Lieutenant Rich and Steve Franks. So the only missing Eric and Richard at this point.
Okay. Any public comment?
Yes, I'd like to hear a little bit from Jim. What are you doing?
Well, we're actually doing that in item number three. We're doing a whole introduction.
I apologize. I knew that. I didn't need it.
Okay, no public comments. We'll move on. Approval of minutes from February 25th.
I have an amendment, please. Sorry. In the third paragraph under BC.
Yes.
Mayor Rossini and Wayne Selzel also raised the issue of empty OUSD buses.
Okay.
And apparently shortcutting rather than the word speeding.
Oh, okay. I thought they were speeding as one of the issues.
No, that's but. Okay. I probably didn't tell it right. Through neighborhoods on residential streets that are not wide enough to handle buses. It's the problem if there's parked. First off, the buses don't need to be going through residential neighborhoods. They're shortcutting. OUSD is shortcutting through from Collins to Villa Park Road and avoiding Wanda for some reason. And they could go to Wanda, turn south on Villa Park Road, and go there. But instead, they come on down to Roberto and cut through our neighborhood, et cetera, back up. And then they go on out. And there's two buses at 3:30 in the afternoon, and I don't know why they're doing it. I think they must be too long because they're also knocking over the uprights on the islands. Mm-hmm. I think they're the ones that are doing it because poor Mike has finally just put up a post there, a rubber post. So I'd like to talk to OUSD about it, but I think you probably, I know you talked to them,
yeah.
But I think the bus drivers union is saying, screw you.
They even occasionally stop at the stop sign there.
Yeah, well, they're
watching blow right through all the time.
Yeah, they blow right through, and I don't know why they're doing it. It's now I think they're mad because somebody like me complained. So I don't know what you do about it. But
well, if you start citing them for running a stop sign.
Put out a spike strip.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. Let's just
well, then we mess with the neighbor. The neighbors yeah. Work on like a spike strip.
Let's just talk to them.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
It might be better if you talk to, because I've.
And you're having a discussion with them anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, I had a very lengthy discussion with the superintendent about a number of items. This one did escape my radar, in all honesty. I will follow up tomorrow with her about this very
would
issue.
You, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
really mind that much, but the little kids, some of these kids are walking home. And
right.
And there's a lot of street repair going on right now and construction. I second the minutes as amended.
Got it.
Okay. Regular business items, homeless litigation.
Well, we got it. Before we jump on there, there's a second item there, and it's introduction of a new member.
Sorry, I completely blew over that.
The council took action and
appointed you all together. Well, I did. I'm a retired law enforcement. I did 35 years. 30 years for LAPD, and my last 5 years with the state of California. At LAPD, I did 13 years in patrol and 17 years as a detective. And with the state of California, I did 5 years as a detective for the insurance department, specializing in insurance fraud investigations. Most of my expertise is patrol operations and property crime investigations, burglaries. Also, I have extensive background in frauds, credit card fraud, embezzlements, check frauds. So that's most of my investigation. Burglaries, receiving stolen property. But I did work 13 years, my first 13 years of patrol as a field training officer for about 7 of those years.
Take it, it's the agenda.
I probably worked, well, I worked 4 or 5 divisions in patrol, and then six or seven assignments as a detective.
I think he's well qualified.
Very well qualified. Knows the community very, very.
I've lived here in Villa Park since 2011, so I'm fairly Resident.
Newcomer.
Resident. So,
welcome aboard.
Be like a hair.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
A decision you'll live to regret.
He already knows not to be absent because we'll vote
him in. Point him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jay's running meetings now because he's absent.
I'm out of town.
Yes.
Okay, homeless litigation.
We could talk a little bit about the North Spa, a couple things. One, they have released the point in time count from 2019, and Villa Park is the only city without a homeless count, meaning there were none identified. That was over a 3-night period, so there was a survey. It wasn't like it was one night and did a drive through it. So they came back and looked, and they did look pretty thoroughly. We are the one, interestingly enough, the other city that's closest that has the similar count is Yorba Linda has one. So, they apparently were not in this part of the county when the counts came through. But we are, needless to say, Placentia and Buena Park, we're part of what they call the North Spa.
Service provider area.
And there are 13 cities there. We're in the North Spa. We are in Placentia and Buena Park are building shelters. Anaheim has opened shelters. So we are sort of, we got a joint operating MOU that the council has approved, and they are building 100 beds in Placentia, 100 beds in Buena Park, which we'll have access to, and we pay about $6,000 a year as a participation sort of involvement, which allows them to use beds. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal basically said that you cannot enforce anti-camping or anti-loitering ordinances unless you have a place for these people to go. Now, if they refuse services, you can find a place for them to go, which happened. But the issue was we had to have some place to operate. So Placentia and Buena Park have stepped forward in a very strong leadership role, in Anaheim as well. We have access to some of their beds. So now, by us signing and contributing on an annual basis, we have access to those beds. Now, does that mean on every given night we have X number of beds? Maybe not, but over the course of a year we do, and it affords the deputies an opportunity to say, would you like us to find you a shelter bed? And if they say no, we refuse it, they say, well, you can't stay here. We're going to take you somewhere else.
That's Placentia, Buena Park, and
Anaheim have the beds. Anaheim has opened them in the old Salvation on Lewis and just south of Taft, if you're familiar down there with that. And they've also opened a place right next to Kramer, across from the bridges at Kramer. So it's just north of where the old piano store, if you're familiar with the 91 freeway.
Yeah.
And that has been converted into another shelter. And then Placentia is looking at a site. It was going to be on Monroe, but what happened is they found that to be contaminated, so they've got two other sites, and their council has taken some real heat, but they're willing to, they got votes to get that through. And Buena Park has taken some real heat, but they're actually moving through on theirs as well. So their councils have really sort of stepped forward and acknowledged that they're going to deal with it. So Judge Carter has bought into it, and he's been very supportive of it. The other thing that's really important there is that the plaintiffs have agreed to a settlement agreement with us, which basically says they will not use this existing litigation to sue any of those 13 cities, which is a real plus. They can obviously find other means to sue us, but Judge Carter has pretty much said, look, they've done what we've asked them, they've stepped forward, et cetera. So you want to probably talk about our day in court.
It was a fantastic day in court. It was entertaining to watch. It's quite a bit of theater. The judge claims on one hand not to have any power, yet he's got every single mayor. He's got the heads of CalOptima, the sheriff of Orange County, everybody and their brother in there, and sister of significant clout. And he wants things done. He literally had people come up there that they had this detail or that detail to work out. And he said, okay, I'll tell you what, why don't you go over to my chambers with one of my clerks and go get that fixed right now. Literally, and on the spot, they went to an ante room, went to his chambers, whatever the case may be, while he's still in court presiding with one of his assistants and worked out whatever the issue was. I mean, it's impressive. impressive, it's powerful, it's very politically important to him, and he will not retire from the bench until this issue is in a very meaningful way resolved in Orange County. Sheriff's Department has stepped up in a huge way to deal with this, and obviously the North Spa has done the same. Other service provider areas, they're looking at potentially facing some significant litigation. I think you covered a vast majority of it.
The question has come up from the city managers, and no one seems to have the answers. I don't know if even the sheriff. What does the state do? Because you guys have a lot of state property, like right next to the park here on Yarborough Regional Park, for instance, is state land.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys enforce or not? What do you do?
Well, my knowledge of what the state does at an official level is small. From a patrol perspective, I'm speaking as a private citizen with a background in law enforcement. I'm not speaking as an official member of the California Highway Patrol or any other state agency, but it's my understanding that Caltrans, and this is in the paper, regularly goes out and posts a notice of eviction and then asks members of the California Highway Patrol to come in and ask the individuals that are sleeping there to leave. And if they refuse to comply, then they can either be cited or arrested. And if they come back, it's more than likely they will be cited and have potentially been arrested. It has been my understanding that there are a lot of different agencies, Fullerton, Buena Park, Anaheim, that have homeless liaisons, and the Highway Patrol works with them so that there's more of a concerted effort. The first and foremost thing is to understand that homelessness in and of itself is not a crime, but their trespassing on property, especially when it's posted, is. And they try to take the lowest level of enforcement possible to try to get these folks some help and encourage them to get it and use the enforcement tool as a last resort. But unfortunately, that's what you have to do at times. So,
a lot of concurrent jurisdictional issues, state property, county property within, you know, the city boundaries. And a lot of that, it'll revert back to the city or to the county as far as having shelter options available. It's almost like they treat it like a private property owner would, having property in that city, even though they own it, it's still in that city's jurisdiction. So they will, a lot of concurrent jurisdiction, and we'll work together to try to solve it the best we can as far as that goes. It's still public property, so you would have, you know, you would have the enforcement issues if they didn't have a shelter option. Fortunately, being, like I said, in the North Spa, there's a lot. The North Spa's been very progressive, and there's a lot more shelter opportunities, so we can enforce a lot.
Orange, if you go down, is it Catella or is it Chapman? Right where the old Burger King used to be?
Chapman.
Right south of there, they're putting in a mental health unit. They bought the big building. The county bought it with CalOptima. $20 million. It's a big investment. And they will be putting in basically a full-service psychiatric so that your deputies don't have to go to Santa Ana when they're bringing someone in. That's a place to take them for 5150s and things along those lines.
And that's going to be a complete wraparound, every kind of service, mental health imaginable in there.
I don't have my notes for you, but if I recall, the exact commitment from CalOptima was somewhere upwards of $100 million in combined services. It's a heck of a ton of money.
Has led the charge on that one here in the county.
The pressure you're going to get now, the other spas are... For instance, Costa Mesa, the judge had a meltdown basically over Fairview?
Fairview.
Yes.
Fairview. Yeah. He sort of chewed out everybody why we aren't using that. And I don't know the restrictions or what's going on, but he's basically,
a lot of property, a lot of developed property out there. The problem is, have been out there for some training, just abandoned property, it deteriorates so quickly, and just the fact that a lot of those buildings haven't been used out there, they're in pretty poor shape, and it would probably be more expensive to rehab what's out there than just to find a new building and build it. Now, as far as the property goes, why they haven't attempted utilizing that, I don't have the answer. I know that came up early on as a good location, but And that didn't happen. And I know Costa Mesa, the city, stepped up, and you know
they built a 60-bed shelter, mm-hmm. but yes. then you still have the
yes.
their count is way over 60. So
well, that's one of the things that the North Spa was being progressive and getting on this early on. He was provided or allowed them to hit 60% of the numbers from 2017. And everyone knows, has been following in the news, that the numbers went up substantially for this latest count. So the 60% of that is going to be, you know, a significant increase in, you know, the amount of beds that you're going to have to put forward. So,
well, I've heard the mayor of Yorba Linda publicly stated in a meeting last week of a group of ladies that they were very proud of the sheriff's department response to the issue in their city, and I think they mentioned only one. Mm-hmm. And and we're experiencing the same pleasure. We're probably avoiding litigation by paying $6,000 a year. That's the cheapest insurance we have against a lawsuit. And I just think it's all due to the effort of the sheriff's department. Thank you.
I would love to take credit for that, but a lot of that is your city management and your city council and being proactive and getting involved in this and allowing us the opportunity to take these enforcement steps, because if they didn't have the shelter space, we would not be able to deal with any issues that did arise when it came to dealing. Because there are homeless people do find their way into Villa Park. And
we did have one sleep outside up right under the TV screen the other week, and they had officers out there within 15 minutes. He found another place. They offered, and he took up another place to sleep, and that was a shelter. And mm-hmm. he was a recovering meth addict who didn't want to go anywhere else and decided he wanted treatment, so they found him. It was really very impressive yes. what the sheriff did.
It was as good as you could hope for.
Mm-hmm. And a fortunate outcome.
Do we know if anyone's going to appeal the Ninth Circuit's?
The South County cities are doing that. They have hired a former federal judge as their attorney. The success of, I mean, it's going to wind its way through courts for a while, I guess.
Right.
But the South County's cities have not identified a location. They've accepted the litigation and are willing to start that process. They've got money to do that too, so they're inclined. They'll take it. I've heard they'll take it all the way wherever they have to go to get some.
Yeah, that Ninth Circuit, was it just a 3-judge panel? Do we know? I'm just kind of curious.
I don't believe so. That is a good question. I've never been asked that.
This is a Boise case you're referring to,
yes,
correct?
Yes, the Boise case. Yeah.
That's a good question.
Because I think they could get the full circuit. You know,
that court, though, as I understand, is notoriously...
yes.
Right.
Oh, yes.
I don't mean recorded, but...
You don't want that.
I know there's, they're always talking about moving things around.
Too many from San Francisco that are on.
But so I think the South County cities have engaged in a legal strategy that is challenging the legitimacy of some of those decisions. And what that end result will be, that's as it winds its way through the court. The good news is we would not have the party of that expense.
And you said Orange is actually going to do that psychiatric.
That's
facility.
That's they've already gotten it all. I mean, now they're doing the construction plans.
Right. And so if someone is actually released 2 days later, are they released out the back door? Or are they released?
They're released to their community, which or a community of origin. That's what they say.
Yes.
I've got the Boise case here. It looks like five.
Oh, five. Nine.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Was it unanimous?
No. Partial concurrence. Partial dissent by Judge Owens, opinion by Judge Berzon, dissent by Judge Bennett. So, there you go. So, only time will tell. And yeah, you never know what they're going to do.
I don't know if it would be the South County cities that would, you know, take that to the next step. I think it would probably be maybe some of the...
Well, Boise would be that. They would be a party case. But I think that...
Yeah.
The city, those South County cities are challenging the lawsuit that's before them, and the decision is, their lawsuit is pretty, the legal precedent will be the Boise case. So that'll be what they rely upon, I think, for adjudication.
There's also a very similar LA County case, too.
Forget is there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Next item, monthly OCSD report.
Alrighty. No. Folks have very important things that they need to get to. Someone's soccer skills, so we'll make this as quick as we can here. For the month of March, we had 3 reported petty thefts in the city. All of those were from vehicles. All 3 of those vehicles were believed to be unlocked at the time of the theft. There was 1 reported vehicle burglary. Someone left their television in plain sight inside of the vehicle, and a window was smashed to take that television set. And then towards the end of the month, we had a stolen vehicle off of Feather Hill. That vehicle, fortunately, was equipped with a GPS tracking system. So it was recovered, occupied within a couple hours in the city of Santa Ana, and numerous other items of stolen property were also inside that vehicle when deputies did arrest the 3 subjects inside of there, which cleared not only, I believe, 1 of these petty thefts from earlier in the month, but also a couple thefts from the month prior. So hopefully that slowed down some thefts a little bit. We did have 3 traffic collisions reported, a injury traffic collision at Nichols and Taft, and then a non-injury traffic collision at Santiago and Wanda. Deputies issued 32 traffic citations and a total of 7 parkers. They responded to 260 calls for service, 191 observed incidents, and 69 assigned. And that is my report for the month of March.
Does that, you know what, the question came up the other day when the councilman, I didn't ask, does that include our little DUI incident right out front?
That was in April. Yes.
Okay.
So that does not include that.
Okay.
I know it's a little difficult when these aren't the most timely things, and I want to be, you know, there's a little delay in them because I want to make sure they're reported accurately.
Yeah,
I reported things that were this month. Yeah, it would.
Okay, neighborhood watch program.
All American Night Out is scheduled for
National Night Out.
National Night Out is scheduled for August 6th.
Okay.
Right.
I thought so. I just want, that's one thing I asked to confirm, because
yeah,
Mike Lee was asking because he's trying to reserve some of the sheriff's equipment.
It is. Mary confirmed that today.
Okay, perfect.
So it's all set.
And it's, do you know what time the start time was?
I didn't get the time. Sorry.
Could you have Mary just shoot me the start time, just, you know?
Well, it's kind of up the sheriff's department because they're the big show on the road. I think it normally starts around 4.
I think we usually did around 4 o'clock, yeah. 4 or 5.
Yeah.
I'm just looking real quick to see what the 6 is.
It's
is
Monday,
it Tuesday?
Tuesday night?
Yes.
Right,
okay,
it's Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. Tuesday the 6th.
Yes.
So what we're doing with Neighborhood Watch, we were going to have a home security fair. Mm-hmm. We wrestled around with dates. And we got thinking about that and thought we didn't have the greatest turnout during the summer because it was hot in August and all that. But we thought if it's okay with the city and this committee, I'd like to use the same date and open up the city hall with the home security mm-hmm. fair at the same time. And that way we have a real, we'll draw out the older people for that, and we had basically young kids and families outside. And so we get a cross-pollination here, of giving some of the old people some understanding of what equipment.
Okay, let me confirm the availability, but I think so. I think
okay,
we reserved
the room.
Does that
sound like a good idea to you guys?
That sounds like a great idea.
Yes, it does.
We thought so too. We really think we can pull it off. And, it really makes it more festive, since some of the other cities have really pretty big deals, give away candy and all that stuff.
Okay, let me confirm and I'll get a shoot you note.
It's interesting. This is a, I don't know if you want to see this, Jim, you might be interested. The home security fair was well attended last year. We had a room full of people here, and I think it's the second year we've done it. And in addition to, we'd like to have the deputy that spoke to our group last year so effectively with internet security and scams. And some of these old people in town are really gullible.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding. It's just amazing. And I don't know why he just won't take my answer, you know, and I told him, no, I really don't need that. But he calls me back, and I just have to get rude with him, you know, and that kind of stuff. We're dealing with a
but we're dealing with a problem with aging. It's really what we're having. So anyway, if he would do that again, that wonderful presentation. I think we had 50 or 60 people here last year to do that.
I will try to set that up. I don't think that would be an issue. I'm sure they would love to come out and do that again.
Very effective. Pass this around in the essence of time, but here are some of the handouts we've already gotten. The FTC offers free 10 things you can do to avoid fraud. These are one-page descriptions. Money wiring scams, imposter scams, charity fraud, healthcare scams, you've won scams, tech supports, grandkids scams, all of that stuff. We have these copies. We just got them last week. Apparently, they run out of them real fast. We order them early in order to get ours. So they'll be here in either at the table outside for the Saturday night out, and the rest of it, if not, will be evident here. We'll have Best Buy and ADT. Those two will be the purveyors to provide services, and then we'll have... maybe we'll have yours,
Martin.
We could have the reserves.
PSRs. I can't speak to the reserves, but the PSRs would be good.
Yeah, PSRs. Yeah. And we won't have a CERT group, though, will we?
We don't have CERT.
Okay, that's it for my report.
Okay, you saw it. You know, the cyber crimes is only going to continue to increase and increase and increase.
It will.
The OKIACS, you know, cyber updates are just replete with all new scams constantly, and it's like every time you update yourself, you know, the next update comes out and you got 10 more scams, and it's like, so it's just going crazy.
Yeah, imagine 360 degrees of scams. You get one new degree just about every other week.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. They change the way they do it. They change the voice. They change the method of scamming people, it's unbelievable. So I'm very thankful, especially with your background. That's huge. Really, really huge. I mean, they do a fantastic job, but it's great that we have that understanding and that depth on our committee.
There was an item in the news last night about a new one that people are actually going in and calling the providers, the cell phone providers, for a chip swap, and they have their somebody's phone number transferred to the chip in another phone. And then they use that with security passwords to drain your bank account. Hmm. And you don't know what's happened until the money's gone.
Well, there's all sorts of ways for them to get at us. Will this new G5, I think they call it, is that going to give us more protection?
Who
or
knows?
Is it worse?
Who knows?
At any rate, I was thinking we might do is if we have a few habitual people who are getting scammed, perhaps if we kept the names and perhaps did a little follow-up with the deputy to just say, would you like to talk about this? We can help you a little on how to prevent the next ones. Kind of a sit-down with them. I'm trying to do what I can over the phone with them, but and it isn't that many. You know, maybe one every other month is all I get to. But it's hard for me to convince them, but I think Jim, I think you'd be ideal.
Well, we used to have an idea that if there's a way to steal money, they'll find it. You know, they'll use any method. They'll go. Once a new technology is developed, as soon as it's developed, they find a way to go around it to scam it. That's generally.
Yeah. These are offshore people. And the Chinese have 5,000 scammers involved. One building.
Okay.
That's it then.
Yeah. Tom, professional services responder program update.
Quiet and fall apart. They keep getting requests to go down and cook hamburgers at the graduation ceremonies, but that's been pretty well hit.
What's the attendance of checking out the unit and driving around?
There's primarily one individual that's here on, seems to be on a pretty regular basis. I have to check the sheet and see if it needs to be replaced. But last time I looked at it, it was pretty full.
I'm not familiar with that program.
So PSRs are the civilian volunteer responders for the sheriff's department, and they take a class, right? Just, what is it, like 20 hours or something?
No, it's not even that long.
Okay.
It's like, you know, less than a day.
And
they have it broken up into two groups. There's the PSRs, and then there's the captains, and they volunteer a lot. A lot of times when there's search and rescue stuff going on out there, which a lot of the PSRs are search and rescue, they'll go out, and if there's any victims out there, they'll, a little more than hand-holding them, but, you know, they can listen to complaints.
But here in Villa Park, they do a lot of the vacation checks, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
And they participate in a lot of our community events. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. We have
We're available for whatever the sheriff's department wants us to do.
There was, early on, there was a lot of interest in people volunteering to do patrol and whatever for the city. And rather than creating our own program, since the sheriff's department already has the PSR program, it was far easier and better to have them go through the PSR program, get indoctrinated through the sheriff's department, yeah. Get their training. You know, they're when they're on duty, they're covered by the sheriff's department, right? Mm-hmm. And so that seems to work. And we got some vehicle donations, too. One a reserve vehicle, one a PSR vehicle. And so they sit in the back. They're just white units. I think the PSR vehicle's marked, right, with City Villa Park.
Yeah, it says volunteer on the side. Yeah. Well, both of them have the city logo on it, but the one the PSR use has volunteer on the back water fence.
Yeah. So it's a great program. It really comes down to people having the time and the interest of getting out in the units and driving, you know, reporting things, you know, being good eyes and ears.
Mm-hmm. It also tells the community that we a little more awareness that their streets are being patrolled. They know these people aren't going to arrest anybody, but they also are watching, and they got a radio they can call in. Yeah. Something.
Watching and reporting.
Yeah.
They specifically tell us when we're on our way to and from an assignment, cover up anything that indicates the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to carry firearms of any kind. Basically operate on the downhill. Big presence, but not much action. Except for calling you for help. And sometimes they tell us it's better to call on a cell phone than try to reach dispatch.
You know, that isn't publicized much. I think we'll put that in the Neighborhood Watch newsletter.
Which at the?
PSR.
To people interested in getting involved with the PSR program, yeah.
And also just knowing that that's what that car is that's driving around your neighborhood, watching construction sites and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Shows where the city's providing a service mm-hmm. above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Might even turn some interest up about folks wanting to get involved.
Yeah.
Either in the reserve or in the PSR program.
Mm-hmm. We'll have him call Jay Wasserman, all 150.
Absolutely. I think I've got a sign out there. I'm going to put his cell phone number.
I changed my number.
Got a new cell phone.
Yeah. I'll do call forwarding to you, Vince.
Thanks.
We'll have him call City Hall in my
Jay, do you want me to take the Villa Park Emergency Preparedness Training Program? Okay, so again, as was previously discussed, we don't have a CERT program. And that's for a number of reasons, workers' comp, liability, a number of different reasons why we don't have what's called a typical CERT program. But we do have a growing number of residents that are receiving similar training through the Orange County Fire Authority. And this begun last year and will hopefully continue into this year. It is something where first aid is important, CPR is important, what to do, and sometimes what not to do. It's not something that I can speak to with as much credibility, obviously, as the Fire Authority representatives, but it's a great program, and it will continue to grow. And I made sure that when I had heard we're getting a new division chief, the deputy chief, two deputy chiefs, one for business operations and one for actual one sworn and one non-sworn, received an email from me saying, I understand revenue division chief. Here are the priorities of the city. This is one of them, which is training our residents. Making sure that if there is a major natural natural disaster, or God forbid, something that happens within our community of a biblical sense, something that overwhelms the fire authority or overwhelms the sheriff's department, and we're stuck to ourselves, these folks can reach out to their neighbors and help out. So that's what's going on as far as specific dates. Until we have that new division chief, we're not going to have new dates, but I do expect him to come to our next meeting and hopefully introduced by the actual chief of the Orange County Fire Authority, Chief Fennessy. That's all I got.
Good. Okay, open forum for committee member comments. Sir.
How often are the meetings and how are they scheduled?
We've been meeting every other month per the last group, and that's sort of, you see, it's, and I think we skipped the summer months because
correct.
Everybody's schedule was so vacation-y. So it's really up to the group what they want to do. There's no, you know, long ago it was every month but when they first started, but they've kind of worked through a lot of those issues. Now it's every other month or
and
what
not
works.
To exceed,
yeah, not to exceed,
not
six,
to exceed six in a year.
Yeah.
So it really is up to you.
Then that's why you'll see item five is to be determined what you guys want to have it at. Generally, at the end of each meeting, we agree to the next meeting.
Does Jim, you have a copy, do all of you have copies of the status of law enforcement in Villa Park report on the Villa Park Law Enforcement Advisory Committee? What our duties and limitations are?
That's online, isn't it?
Yes, it is online.
Yeah.
I think we linked you to it when you started.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kim got it.
Everybody should look at that because we got off, I got the committee off into a little Donnybrook. And I won't go into detail, but I stepped over the line and the committee had to apologize to the city council because I moved an action that we weren't authorized to do. We're only an advisory committee to the city council. We can come up with any idea we want, but the decision shall be made by the city council, not this committee.
Well, I think there were some other, it's very kind of you to be that generous to a former city manager and an outgoing city council. There were some other...
He didn't represent us well.
There were some other things that went into it. But needless to say, we're doing things right, and the city's doing things right, but it's good that they have an understanding of our limitations and what the goals of this committee are, and they should review that.
Yeah, so just look at it online. It isn't that much. Mostly it's the don'ts that you got to look at.
Just a couple things I knew before we go. I did want to mention a couple things. You'll recall we did a sheriff study with all the contract cities. And one of the things that's really, really that comes out is that contracting with the sheriff is not only a good quality issue, it's an efficient economical issue for the city as well. We per capita spend about $270 per resident. Any department, any city that has their own department spends at least $350 or more per capita, per person a year. So it's an efficient model that we have. It's very effective. And so we are actually getting charged, and they concluded we did a the cities did this. The sheriff didn't do the study and tell us what happened. It was sort of an outside firm looked at it. So that was sort of a big confirmation of, I think, what we already knew, but it's nice to have it confirmed. So obviously we have a 5-year deal with the sheriff, and we renew it every 5 years. They've been the only entity that's provided law enforcement since incorporation in the 1960s. We're very fortunate, but that study is out. I can get you a link to it if you want to read it. It's pretty informative. The only issues that really came out of it is maybe there's a better way to do the support of the vehicles.
Fleet services,
because the sheriff doesn't do this. They contract with the county department to do that, and they throw overhead on top of it. And even the sheriff said, we'd like to figure out maybe if there's a better way to do this. So they're going to look at that, and the sheriff is creating a city manager technical advisor group, and Mark Pallone, the city manager of Yorba Linda, is the chair of that, and I think it will be well represented with him being the chair. But I want to share that with you because it does affirm that we've got the best thing going with our own, with the contracting with the sheriff, and not only quality, but you know, cost-wise.
Cost effective.
$350 per capita.
I'll get you. It's in the study, so you can see each city by city what they're paying.
You just got to look at Yorba Linda, and they broke off services with Bray to go with the sheriff because the sheriff
right.
could do far more for far less.
Right. So we're paying about $275, which is, you know, we're on the high end of the contract cities, partly because we're so small, but we still have coverage. So you're paying for base services that you don't have a lot of per capita spread that cost around. So just with a residency of about 5,900, you know, you're paying for deputies, it costs a little bit more.
And candidly, we expect no crime. I mean, whether that's realistic or not, there's a point of view within the community, and I understand that when you pay the kind of money you pay to buy a house here, when you want to have your kids attend the schools they attend, you literally have almost unheard of expectations, and therefore the call volume, the demands upon service with our very limited budget and and the number of people we have within our city, it's only the cost if you do on a per capita basis, it's only spread across about 6,000 people. Mm-hmm. So you have to think about it from that perspective. So yeah. In my humble opinion, as a resident, I think we're getting a heck of a deal.
Right. 275
about. Yeah, so yeah, about 275. It's in the chart. The other thing I was saying, the sheriffs have given us the numbers for next year. There'll be about a 4.8% increase. It was going to be a little higher than that. Lieutenant and I, we arm wrestled for a little bit of it. So we're getting the same coverage because he's been able to.
He had two arms, he had one.
Hey, we were on the same side. This wasn't a...
Anyway, it worked out real well, and we're at about 4.83, so it is very accommodating. We're still going to be, it's the best deal in town by far, no question.
Steve's done a heck of a job to try to spread those costs.
I'm interested in this, in the services and the, what exactly... I don't know anything about the contract. Okay. Do we get an air unit?
Yeah, we get full access to all the sheriff services. We have bomb. We have SWAT teams, bomb squad, tactical teams. We have investigators. We only pay for a base level of service, but so if we have a crime, you may see four or five black and whites roll, but we're paying for one initially, and then they bring them in.
And it's minutes, minutes. They're right here.
And it is. So we get every service. We've got helicopter patrol. We've got everything that we pay a
crime
portion
labs
of.
Crime labs,
crime lab, DNA, whatever the whole. Yeah, we've got access to everything the sheriff provides. A full gamut of that service. So we end the jail. They run the jail for us. So.
Do we get a deputy 24/7?
24/7, 7 days a week. Yes.
365.
Yes.
Now, what happens if that deputy gets prioritized to a different area? If there's a major incident in, say, Santa Ana or something like that.
If the deputy, the Villa Park deputy, is called away to provide service or to assist one of our other areas,
right.
And there's a call for service in here, then we would pull a deputy from another area and have him come in here. And it's very rarely do we have a call for service that's, you know, one, or should I say, only a one deputy call. So a lot of deputies are dispatched with two deputies are the calls in here. So we'll typically, the Villa Park deputy go, and then someone from unincorporated, from North Tustin, unincorporated Santa Ana, or Orange will also roll over here to follow that deputy.
Mm-hmm. On a voluntary basis, or is that just a protocol?
They're dispatched.
Burglary, they're now... higher priority call, they get sent automatically.
There's mutual aid.
Correct.
We're part of North Patrol, so he's got all the unincorporated area. He's got Yorba Linda and Stanton to pull from, and he's got obviously the pool base where he could pull from everywhere else. And Sheriff Department, you've got, 4,000 employees at this point? So the Sheriff's Department is able-staffed, and we really get, we've had an incident where we had lockdown to schools, and we had, like, I don't know how many deputies. It was, like, hard
the
to...
World.
It was
world.
16.
Yeah, we had 16 deputies here, you know, world. And we had a DUI a couple nights ago, weeks ago, I guess, and I think there were six black and whites here. Everyone thought there was a burglary. I got a call, somebody of a burglary, but no, some guy got too much and knocked over a pole. But anyway, it works in our favor more than it works against us, candidly. You know, Villa Park, one of the things that the previous captain or lieutenant told me, that it's almost more dangerous to have one of our deputies rolling at Friday night at midnight or 2 a.m. because there's no street lights. They're more afraid they're going to hit something than they are finding something, because it just, but we have them out there. They're there.
And candidly, all respect to prior deputies and prior lieutenants a few ago, not this current, not the last one, but a few ago, several ago, our level of service has gone up. our level of enforcement's gone up. Our level of traffic stops and community involvement, even if it's on a consensual basis, has gone up. The wheels are turning more in Villa Park. There's much more of an in-view presence, which is what we all want. We all know, we all have a background in law enforcement and an understanding when you have deputies in view, when you see the wheels turning, when they're making either PC-based stop or reasonable suspicion contacts, or even just consensual encounters, when they're out there doing that, that's what deters crime. That's huge. And you see that with the stats. We're one of, I think, two cities in Orange County that has seen a reduction in crime, while the remainder of Orange County has actually gone up over the past few years. And that's not my stats. Those are not, I don't believe, their stats. Those are stats that were gleaned by the Orange County Register, I'm sure through the FBI and whatever. So they're vetted stats.
And that alone, those stats have effectively reduced our crime, because the word gets out to the bad guys that this ain't a good town to be coming after, because we catch them. Yeah. Thanks to the, we had a murder occur up on on top of the hill, Crest, something Crest. Any rate, and it was a hit from a professional killer, and they, of course, anybody that does a crime here tries to get out of here. That's, they leave the area. It's basically what they do. Well, this guy was caught up in the valley, and he was caught by another agency, but it was linked into the sheriff's department, and we had the labs doing the work from fingerprints on up. We didn't get the guy, but we got the whole story on it because he was a part of a mob hit. Point is, we have far more services than
The county has an ordinance that says a lot of these services are provided free of charge, like bomb squad, SWAT, et cetera. So, and helicopter, well, we pay for some helicopter, but there's
enhanced
additional
helicopter. They had the 1189 resolution, which basically the county came down and said certain things like gang enforcement, narcotics enforcement, homicide investigations, those, anything that would be provided to a city that wasn't contracted with the sheriff's department will be provided to any contract city for your service.
We have heard
share that too much right about now.
Too many residents think we're paying too much, too, which is a big part of our budget because we're a small city. But, you know, this, the costs are what they are. And so now getting this figure of 275 per capita versus...
when you see the numbers, you realize having your own department doesn't make sense, and what we're doing does make sense. And it's painfully obvious. To all the contract cities are the low and the level of service. If it's not like you have low and high crime rates, you have low cost per capita and low crime rates. I mean, that's a good combination from a city manager perspective. You know, that's what you want, low cost and low crime. I mean, I don't know what else you'd want.
Very much so.
The big expense driver for other cities is the redundancy of infrastructure and everything that the sheriff already has.
Good point.
And so we're just all using that community, if you will, infrastructure, and that keeps our costs way down too.
Good point, Jim.
They've got such a massive reserve as well, so like if you'll see at the boat parade, very few actual deputies are on duty at that time. It's a lot of reserves and those guys.
Reserves,
so we're getting
a lot
of services for very little cost when you really get down to it. So
how's the civil litigation work? Liability as far as
they have all they assume all responsibility, hold us harmless.
They can't come back to the city and say
no.
That's the biggest win.
Yep. They incur all legal expenses and liabilities.
That's a deep pocket item that cuts our actual liability premiums down.
It's a huge, that alone is enough to make you not want to do anything else. Again, from the city manager perspective.
Now the fire authority, that's a different. That's another subject.
So another subject for another meeting.
When do you want to meet?
Available for coffee anytime.
When do we want to meet again? Is that, does anyone want to look at their schedules and see what works? I know that the summer schedule, graduations and things in June, we would be June, but I don't know. What do you guys want to do?
You all let me know, and I'll make it happen. And then one thing I want to just encourage everybody is, especially new members, if you have ideas, please speak up. We need the new ideas. We need the new blood. We need... thoughts about traffic enforcement and signage and engineering And those of you that have been on patrol have kind of a unique understanding. I think that's very important. So Ruben and Jim, you guys, to the degree possible, drive around, let us know if there's things that we can do better from the city council perspective. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. I apologize, I've got to run, but
thanks,
I got a little guy right over here to the field, okay?
Yep.
And Steve, thank you.
Sure.
You guys have a good one.
How's the June 25th look for you guys? School will be out, and I'll be back from Hawaii.
Well, there we are.
How about the 24th? But
that's a Thursday. Or Tuesday, right? 25th.
Yeah. June 24th is a Monday.
5th, I said.
25th is a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Tuesday, that will be a council, that's a council day.
Oh, yeah. We do these on Mondays, right?
Typically, we try to do them on Mondays.
Yeah, Mondays.
But there's nothing in stone that we have to. It's up to you.
Yeah, no, 24th is fine.
Unless we have an urgent thing, we need a couch for me.
No, 24th is good.
That's a Monday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that way, if we have something urgent, we can have action on it tomorrow, the next day.
Yeah, next day, right. Okay.
And we'll stay at 5, that 5 is a good time.
Let's hope we don't have one of those.
Okay, we're good.
All right.
Also, keep your eyes open for things you think that we kind of screw up with location and crosswalks.
You need to send me the stats and I'll forward it to you.
Or
definitely. Yes.
People running, stop signs. We put up a lighted strip over here on Lemon, changed the whole pattern of people in the neighborhood without having to.
We put up a lighted, if you'll see it on Serrano, for blinking light for pedestrian. You'll see it over there too. And
I like it.
I mean, we still had problems, people doing, you know, illegal turns and accidents, but I mean, we have so many kids over there because of Little League and school, two schools right there, so. But it's a lit blinking light, just like the one on, it's a yellow one, though.
But none of the accidents have been consistent for locations that we need to identify, right?
No, they're illegal U-turns, running into somebody who didn't see and wasn't paying attention to a kid versus.
Right. Yeah. So
we have signs that say no U-turn. One was.
We're still being recorded, so. Yeah. But yeah, yeah, I mean, nothing.
A cup of coffee in one hand.